This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Five-star Haaland helps deliver a 6-0 performance for City as they book their spot in the FA Cup last eight. A win that avenges City's relegation to Luton Town from the 1980s. Well, at least for some of us. It's Wednesday, the 28th of February. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Andrew Detmer.
And I'm Ollie Kirsch with a pop, pop, pop filter.
Oh my God. And this is the City Report podcast.
It's here for Gundogan. It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year.
Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content where contributors... I've not been able to nail any of them all week. It's been shocking. I'm going to get dropped. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content where contributors have finally stepped forward into the 21st century with their recording materials. Ollie Kirsch, your P's and your B's will be protected from this day on. Listeners around the country and the globe, rejoice in celebration.
Yeah, whenever we get a 4.9 star rating instead of 5-star rating, I usually get the blame for this, for my P's and B's coming through and blowing out people's eardrums. So Mr. Detmer will be very happy. Mr. Bardsley will be very happy. I'll repeat that. Mr. Bardsley will be very happy. And Mr. Booker will be very happy. So yes, hello. Good to be back.
Sound quality almost as clear as Manchester City's round five victory over Luton Town, Andrew. That was a fun game.
Yeah, it feels like what you expect out of a FA Cup match, which is just kind of general chaos at this point in the season, because teams are trying to balance multiple priorities and trying to, you know, get certain players back to fitness, manage certain players' level of fitness. We obviously want to go on and win it. I think Luton clearly didn't just want to go out of the FA Cup, but obviously Luton has the very important task of picking up Premier League points to survive. So it's just a very interesting kind of situation that I think can often lead to some fun. It can either lead to fun matches or it will lead to absolutely terrible matches.
Oh, it was good fun though.
Usually I feel like there's nothing in between.
It was good fun though.
It was really good fun. Do you know what I was thinking? I've been trying to sort of figure out what this game reminded me of, and I don't know how this translates over to US listeners and their sort of sports in school, etc., etc. But Ollie, for me anyway, and potentially you and the rest of the people in the UK or anyone who played sort of football/soccer in school. It just felt like a little bit of a playground game where a teacher would chuck a few kids a ball and they'd stick. You know, the best kids would always stick together. Obviously, I was on that best team, obviously. And, you know, they'd score loads of good goals. And then the one decent kid on the other team would get a goal and it would end up something like, I don't know, 6-2. That's what it felt like. It just felt like a school game.
Yeah, but it's more like when the PE teacher himself joins in and just bangs five and is absolutely relentless.
The PE teachers, De Bruyne and Haaland assuming that role.
Teachers, yeah, yeah.
You guys surely have seen the video of three professional footballers versus 100 school children.
Yeah. It could only have been a Japanese game show.
This is not me diminishing Luton. Like, they were honestly very good. Their first goal, one of the best goals I've ever seen. Just absolutely incredible. The vibes of Kevin De Bruyne and Haaland deciding to just be like, we're going to do exactly what we need to put this game to bed has a little bit of that video.
Yeah.
Amos,
not to be disrespectful, Luton.
Amos, can you read out the tweet in the voice that it should be read out in that I've just sent over?
Oh, God.
For the listeners.
Pete, go on, let's hear the curtain here. I'll have to find it first.
Most recent one.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. I'm Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne and I've realised it's February, so should start actually trying to... I can't even read, actually. So should start actually trying that... No, the tweet doesn't make sense. Yeah. This is verbatim. So should start actually trying so Man City win everything until the end of the season, grow up. Right, okay. It does make sense.
You
it's just late.
Didn't you? All right, here we go. Right, I've got this.
Ooh, I'm Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne, and I've realised it's February, so should start actually trying so Man City win everything until the end of the season. Grow up.
You should know better than to ask me to do improvisation, Oliver Kirsch. it does feel like that. It does feel, and a little bit like this time last year, really, where we started to see the performances translate into results. And I guess sort of serious heads on now. So I'll come to you, Andrew, because obviously the choice is limited with a question that requires actual serious answer. But that's something that Erling Haaland hasn't been doing in the last couple of weeks. And if there have been criticisms of City, it's been the fact that they've not been able to take chances. And had it been like that against Chelsea, God knows we might be top of the table right now. We're not. It is what it is. But what did you make of his clinical nature in front of goal? I think it was 7 shots, 5 goals. And let's face it, there was like a 67-year-old Tim Krul in net. So I think a couple of them, maybe with a half-decent goalkeeper, would have been saved. But still, it's good to see him taking those chances.
Yeah, you know, you live by the Erling Haaland XG performance and you die by the Erling Haaland XG performance. And so one of the things I think we've talked about this season is that we have not done a great job of controlling matches. And so while last season, if Erling Haaland either was at his XG output or a little bit under it, we were probably still going to be fine because the other side was not going to get chances and necessarily take them. Although, you know, as Pep recently pointed out, we really aren't giving up that many chances now. It's just that we also aren't really taking advantage of our opportunities necessarily. But if you look at the stats for this match, Erling Haaland had a raw XG of 2.48. He had an expected goals from the shots on target of 3.18 and scores 5 goals. So, you know, sometimes he is going to put together XG of 1.5, 2 goals and not score. And then that evens out the way that XG works because it's literally averages in math that, hey, Pep, he created 2.5 XG this time and scored 5 goals. And so he's basically at his XG. I do think he will continue to always be a player that over the course of a season will outperform that number. But that doesn't mean every match he's going to. And so this was definitely, I think, a good match for him to get back on kind of course, and we'll see if that lasts the rest of the season.
It's so important to us as well. Serious head on here. Sorry, Amos. Just giddy. not been on in a week or so. Something that we've seen over the last few weeks, when the team's performances have perhaps been suboptimal, it's not necessarily because the entire team is underperforming. It's because we've maybe been a little bit sloppy at the back at times, made a couple of mistakes we've not needed to, or, which has been the usual culprit, we haven't been as prolific as usual. The last three games, what was it? Loss 1-0, drew 1-1, 1-0, or 1-0? We've scored, I think, one per game over the last three games. And the
1-1, 1-0 win, 1-0 win.
Right. So that is, that's ultimately down to Haaland, right? That's why I've signed him. His one job is to score goals. His one job. Mm-hmm. Top to bottom is to score goals. He's not expected to be a false nine. He's not expected to do what Alvarez does, what Aguero did, what a false nine did. So when he isn't firing, that is such an important part of our game plan. And to nights like tonight or last night for the listeners, we can afford to be a little bit sloppy at the back. We can afford to concede a wonder goal and another goal that, you know, we maybe should have dealt with a little bit better if Haaland is firing. He gives us a margin of error. When he's doing what he's supposed to do, he gives us a margin of error that is a luxury that very, very few other teams can afford. Arsenal can this season, especially recently because of the scoring so many. But generally, you look at a title-winning team and you say they were solid at the back, they were good up top. We can be a little bit sloppier at the back as long as we are firing to the extent and the potential which Haaland can. So I'm delighted, and I really hope this is for him a corner turned, similar to how the team turned a corner in the new year or at the beginning of January, February. So, yeah, if he can now carry this through to the derby and beyond, then I'm supremely confident about how this season is going to end up.
I think the benefit of this and it coming now is that it's a confidence boost for Erling Haaland himself, because I wouldn't necessarily say he's a pure confidence player City have had in the past. Raheem Sterling is maybe an example where when he's fit and firing and it's going for him, he looks like the best winger in the world. But when, God forbid, a half chance doesn't go his way, suddenly the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, he looks like a League Two style player. Erling Haaland obviously isn't that drastic in terms of needing confidence. He can score even when he's been having a bad day, but it does feel like in a match when the first couple of chances don't go in, the next two are snatched, the one after that is a bit of a sitter. That's kind of been the trend the last couple of weeks. But a night like tonight where he has that confidence, first 5 minutes, he's got a goal under his belt. By a half an hour, he could have had a hat-trick. By half-time, he does have a hat-trick. And it really was a clinic, really. Ironically, though, I don't know what it was like on the US broadcast, Andrew, but it was Erling Haaland getting man of the match. But I actually think Kevin De Bruyne, and this isn't a hot take by any means, but I actually think Kevin De Bruyne was probably the best player on the pitch, because you and I have agreed many a time that the onus on scoring goals is obviously a big one to shoulder. But at the same time, doing what Kevin De Bruyne does for me anyway is 10 times harder. And he, again, another masterful display from him.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that his performance has not always been perfect since coming back. I think he's kind of had matches where he's either incredible and on for most of the match, or he is kind of a little bit out of it, and then we'll just have those moments of brilliance.
Hasn't that been his career, though? He's never been a 7-10 every week, has he? He's been a 10-10, a 6-10, a 10-10, a 10-10. You know, you get my point, but that's kind of been him.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. I just think that it's, as he has aged, I think he has been more of a player that will dominate consistently and kind of impose his will as he's learned. And I think we're seeing that, and it's been interesting for him to come back the way he has, because I think we have seen that a little bit. But I'll also say that I don't want to be in a position where the only thing propelling us is either Erling Haaland's goals or Kevin De Bruyne's performances. And so, you know, the first 35 minutes of tonight was really reassuring, because Luton have been a side, particularly at home, that have troubled teams. They play really interesting football. And so the level of control and output we had during that time was reassuring to me because it felt like we were back to kind of the best that this team was last season.
Yeah, and certainly we'll get to a certain Jack Grealish in the second part of today's show, and no doubt in the build-up to the derby later on this week. We'll be speaking about him plenty in the episodes that remain, but that first half an hour, again, it's sad to say, but it did look a little bit like the City we know and we loved last season. That control did drop off a little bit, it has to be said, but when you're scoring goals, then you can legislate for that. My worry is Champions League knockout games, big fixtures against Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, etc., etc. Can you approach a game like that? Probably not. finally, then, I guess, Ollie, before we jump to the break, the balance of the team for me, even after Jack Grealish went off, I don't necessarily think it was that much of an impact, even though City's didn't look as fluid, but just the sort of, I guess it was promising to see City control a fixture like that without Rodri in the team and say, yeah, actually, Kovacic can play that role. Mateus Nunes can come in and do what we've kind of been wanting to see a little bit more of it. And for my money, that's probably two games in a row where he's made a positive impact. He seems to have sort of taken on the burden from Grealish of being the new City signing who just can't buy a goal for love nor money. Tim Krul sort of was letting goals go through his legs for Haaland and then pulling off wonder saves when Nunes got in front of goal. But Kovacic, Nunes, obviously Bernardo, we know what he can do, and the aforementioned Kevin De Bruyne and Erling Haaland. It just felt nice and balanced, which is reassuring that it didn't need Foden and it didn't need Rodri, two of City's best players this year.
It quite literally was. You know, as this season's gone on and as we've seen different configurations of the City midfield and front line, I've kind of in my head grouped players into two distinct categories, right? It's a picture of a Venn diagram. On one side, we've got the fuck it YOLO players, and they are Doku, they are Haaland, they are to an extent De Bruyne playing in the role that he's asked to play in. Foden, I would still put in that category. And then we have the control players. We have Nunes, I'm not 100% sure on just yet. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But Kovacic, Rodri, and Grealish are certainly on the other side of that, where they bring some tempo, they bring some control, they bring some calm to our players who move up through the pitch. Bernardo, I would put in between them. I think he's more than capable of doing both. He's more than capable of doing both.
Yeah, when it's necessary, he can switch that, flick that switch and really go at it.
Yeah. So when we lined up the other week and alarm bells were going on in everyone's head, I think it was Chelsea, where we had like Haaland, Alvarez, Doku, De Bruyne, Foden, and Rodri. That's four out of the five or five out of the six players in the fuck it YOLO circle, plus Rodri. That was horribly unbalanced. We saw that. Tonight, as you mentioned, even when Grealish went off, even if Doku comes on, we've still got Bernardo, who's capable of controlling the game, Nunes, who is capable of controlling the game, and Kovacic, who certainly, as you say, you know, he's I know you see a bit of Ilkay Gundogan in Kovacic. So it was balanced. That's 3-3 if you want to be super binary about this. Haaland, De Bruyne and Doku, X, Bernardo, Nunes and Kovacic. It's really important in these big games that we do get that balance right. It's really important. The concern is that as far as the wide men go, we only have Bernardo and Grealish. If Grealish is going to be suffering with injury problems for the rest of the season, and I hope to God he won't, then we're really relying on Bernardo's fitness. Otherwise, we are going to end up with a lot more lineups that look similar to how we went forward against Chelsea. But yeah, that's kind of how I'm grouping these guys now. And I think as long as we've got a good numerical mix of them, we just tend to look a lot better. We have the guys that can speed it up, the guys that can slow it down, and the ones in between like Bernardo that just seem to know. They could feel the game and know when they need to when they need to just kind of switch that mentality and switch the speed of play. So yeah, they're all phenomenally talented in their own way, but you know, you can't force a player like Doku to play like Jack Grealish. It's not possible. Yeah. You have to compensate somewhere else. Tonight we did that and it looked great. It looked good.
And you would hope, Andrew, just quickly, that Guardiola, as you'd assume he is, he's smart enough and he's obviously intelligent enough in terms of being a football manager. But you just hope that he'd have recognised that and we don't rock up on Sunday against United. And it is Alvarez, Haaland, it is De Bruyne, Foden, it is Doku, and Rodri's just there to sort of clean up after himself. I don't think it will be, because obviously that Chelsea game, Bernardo Silva picked up a knock and he's going to start. If he's available. So you do hope those lessons have been learned, because United are the only big six team. This is sort of veering on to the preview. We will speak a bit more about Luton in part two, but just a quick look ahead. United are the only big six team City have beaten this season. So you would hope those mistakes have been learned.
You would hope, but I get that Bernardo was injured, but I think there were other players or other formations you could have gone with to deal with lineup issues at Chelsea rather than playing the lineup that he did. And sometimes I think Pep believes that the best players need to play kind of.
They'll find a way. He's not willing, basically.
Yeah, they'll find a way. And he would rather play a non-optimized lineup and not maybe play someone ahead of someone he thinks is more deserving than play an optimized lineup. Because, you know, for me in that Chelsea match, I would play Oscar Bob 1,000 times out of 1,000 on the left instead of Doku when you know what Chelsea want to do. And so the fact that he didn't do that does leave me a little bit concerned. But again, he's Pep Guardiola. I'm Andrew Detmer. I don't get to really criticize him.
Yeah, I think that's a good part, a good way to end part one. Listeners, stay exactly where you are. Unfortunately, we won't have Pep Guardiola on the show in part two. It will still be Ollie and it will still be Andrew, and most unfortunately, it will still be me. But a little bit more hair, it has to be said. Catch you in a bit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. Halfway through the week, guys, keep going. Derby day week. Let us know when you start to get those jitters. Ollie, look, it was a sensational night for City. The job was there to be done. Don't get me wrong. You win, you go into the half of the quarterfinal. We'll see what that draw throws up today. Believe it's tonight before the Chelsea game, for anyone wondering. But Haaland scoring again, KDB assisting again, 6 goals scored, full rest for Rodri, full rest for Foden, Diaz as well, didn't come onto the pitch. Like I said, into the FA Cup quarterfinal. The only negative of the night's work was obviously Jack Grealish, and it's the second time this month we're seeing him come off in the first half. He looked distraught, and I think on a personal level, most people, regardless of their opinions of Grealish, will say that is tough to watch, really. A human being like that, whatever the reason, the injury, whatever mitigating circumstances, you know, it was a tough watch. But ultimately, that's another big blow for City ahead of this run.
Just for that, there's one more thing I want to shout out as a positive, which was the fans.
Oh, go on.
Yes, the away great end shout. Was yeah, great shout. Phenomenal. First 20 minutes.
Very good.
Yeah, first 20 minutes I was listening on radio, the rest of it on the telly and through both. All you could hear was the City end. Unbelievable. So, yeah, I just want to give them a shout out. Grealish, devastated, man. Absolutely gutted. I don't.
He looks broken.
He did look broken. I don't know if there's something psychologically going on. You know, because he was on the bench for a while, over the last few months before he picked up that first injury. Now, obviously, maybe some kind of recurrence, maybe something else. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch as a City fan as well, not just as a human being, because we are so much better with him. Ultimately, we are a better side with him. It's shite. It really is. And also, I just want to say, because we've seen when he was on the bench and when he was injured, and there's been a lot of people ripping into him on Twitter, and I've seen all kinds of, honestly, to be straight up, some nasty shit tweeted.
Yeah.
Take a long, hard look at yourself. If you're one of those people, it's not on. This with Jack, he deserves some slack as well, because we know how good of a human being he is. You know, does a lot of charity work. He's fantastic with young fans, etc. So if there's something going on, yes, he needs to deal with it. If it's more than just his physical fitness. But for God's sake, people need to cut him a bit of slack. I cannot stand seeing the criticism that's flying around on Twitter. So, yeah, just...
It's also something you see with elite athletes all the time who, in a situation like with Jack, who now he's had a couple of kind of back-to-back injuries and, like, things are going well finally, and then he has to, you know, exit again. Like, that can be something that psychologically is difficult for these athletes to deal with, because one, not only is the frustration of like, you thought you were okay and you can move forward, but there's also the issue of, man, everything told me I was okay, and this muscle went again, and it can be really hard to trust your body again. And there's plenty of stories of athletes who end up calling it early solely on the basis of their body starts to like basically like let them down, and they can't get over the mental hurdle to get back to full fitness. So
players like Reece James, for example. Look at Reece James.
Reece James is another one. But even closer to home, Kevin De Bruyne had to essentially sit out 6 months of the season because as he said himself, his hamstring was a wet paper towel. And you know, who knows if that's going to be the case with Jack Grealish, if this is
clearly not a bounty wet paper towel.
Yeah.
We've had a few of these companies.
Other wet paper towel companies are available. We want to be careful. We don't want to speculate, and we don't want to sort of jump to any major conclusions, because muscle injuries are pretty minging, to be honest. You know, you can do a muscle, you can have a bad time of it for 3 days, but you can get to the end of the week and you go, you know what, I feel fine. You wait a week, you get back into action, and then suddenly, as would have been the case here, I think the action it came from, you went in a duel with someone, a 50-50, and you know, you twist your body, you turn your legs or whatever, it just goes again. It isn't like you break a bone, it heals, you're back playing, or you do a ligament and you can sort of kind of test it and you kind of know where you're at and you can do your testings and your training, etc. It is pretty mean, but we will sort of delve into it as we go deeper on into the week and sort of how can City get about it. I guess sort of kind of tying into it, we mentioned him a little bit earlier on, Mateus Nunes, but just finally on the Luton game, that was a real star showing, I thought. Anyway, Andrew, I sort of flirted with it before. That's back-to-back games for me that I think he's looked really good. Again, can't buy a goal, but he could potentially be someone who maybe goes into that role as a wide midfielder. You know, a lot of the benefits of Jack Grealish are the fact that he kind of adds another midfielder out on the wide. He could be the guy to do it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. He is a very interesting player because he kind of he's a late bloomer in terms of his abilities at top level football, I think, which is one of the reasons why he moved to Wolves kind of at the stage that he did. And he's not a complete player yet. And anyone who is expecting him to be a complete player, I think, is fooling themselves. But he has a skill set that with Pep Guardiola managing him and molding him, I think can become a really devastating and interesting player. Because there's some things that he does that you can't teach. And I think particularly in terms of kind of the dummies that he has done multiple times now to set up Erling Haaland, like that is just a natural skill set and kind of intuition that he has that can be really difficult to contend with if you are an opposition defense. And so yeah. I love the progression he's had this season, and I'm interested to see where he goes. And I agree that in a world where Jack Grealish is injured, I'm very comfortable putting Nunez out on the left wing to have it be slightly less chaos agent-y at left wing if we can't play Jack Grealish.
Mm. Ole, finally, Nunez, he's coming into his own a little bit, and I will have to go back because I do love being vindicated, but I remember saying earlier on in the season, maybe after one of the Champions League games, where not that Nunez will be a big player for City in the running, but he will be a big enough player where we go at the end of the season, oh God, wasn't he good? You know, maybe a few cameos, maybe a goal here or there, or an assist to change game if needed. You know, I don't feel like he's any longer in the category of he's a new signing, he's getting minutes because the match is won or the game is done and dusted. It feels like he's got responsibility that wasn't there in the first half of the season.
He's now fulfilling a role, I think is the best way to put it. He's now fulfilling a role depending on either game state or depending on tactically what Pep wants to achieve. It's more than just simply being a new signing. And you can teach an old dog new tricks. The very best example, possibly the Premier League has seen. I would actually be hard-pressed to find an example that's better than this, but Fernandinho. Didn't he join us at 30? Mm. 29, 30? Yeah. He was in Shakhtar. He was a relatively unknown player at the top level. And I mean, shit, look what he became at 33, 34, 35. So, yeah,
36. 37, etc.
Yeah, you won't find any age discrimination from me where players are concerned. This isn't Football Manager, you know, they don't go in the bin when they hit 30. Nunez, yes, he's now fulfilling a role. Is he good enough to be in a starting lineup in a big game? Remains to be seen. I wouldn't opt for him if we had our strongest 11 available. I don't think I don't actually think he's near that yet, but he certainly does have a role to play in this run-in. And again, if he can keep this rate of improvement going, or I don't want to say improvement, but the rate that he's bedding in and understanding what he needs to do, if he can keep that rolling towards the back end of the season, he will be important. So, yeah, optimistic.
Promising signs, peaking at the right time. And I'll leave listeners and I'll leave you two with this quote. Erling Haaland was asked after the game if Man City's peak is yet to come. His reply, and I'm sure you can do the accent and the sort of the juvenile response, his little giggles, etc. But it's coming. We're coming. Exciting times ahead. We're ready to attack. Andrew, that feels like a good place to call it a day for today.
Absolutely.
Oliver, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you very much. And until next time, which will be tomorrow, building up to the Manchester Derby on Sunday. Sighs. That'll be it for today. Until next time, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you later. Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season running with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.